You're new. We're in a series right now. We're talking about the values we have as a church and how those affect the decisions we make. Maybe you're looking for a new church home. You're visiting. This is a great series for you to be a part of, to experience what we're doing and what we're about. I appreciate Ron Guest filling in for me last week. Last weekend, I went down to Florida to do my grandfather's funeral, and I appreciate him stepping up so that I could have that moment with my family. That's one of my grandfather's wishes, was for me to be able to come do that. So I appreciate that time and y'all being generous. One of the things about my grandfather was probably about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, he was sitting doing a devotion with the Lord, just reading the Word of God and praying and just seeking the Lord. And he felt like God spoke into his life that morning. And he felt like God said, get up and go do ministry at the nursing home. Didn't have any details, didn't have a plan, didn't even know if they would say yes, but he just got up, got in the car, and drove to the local nursing home here in Blairsville. And he said, this is what I feel like God's calling me to do. Is there any opportunity for me to do that here? And they said, absolutely. And he spent the next 12 years doing ministry at the nursing home. He led Bible studies. He would go from room to room and mostly just listen to people, talk to people, care about people. And he met people in their rooms who said, I will never become a Christian. And he just kept showing up and believing that God had asked him to do it, and he was going to care. And some of those people who looked him in the face said, I will never become a Christian, ended up saying yes to Jesus. Yeah, you can clap. And there's other people in the nursing home who those around them would say, that person's never going to become a Christian. That person's never going to give their life to Jesus. And my grandfather would show up, care, and listen. And some of those people became Christians. It's got to be an interesting thing to get to heaven and meet other people who said yes to Jesus because you were willing to just do what God asked you to do. And I think our society tells a lot of times people, especially once they retire, your best days are behind you. Your best days are behind you. And my grandfather would argue, my best ministry happened after I retired because I was willing to say yes to God. And I tell you, whether you're younger, in middle school, in high school, whether you're retired or in between, when you say yes to the living God, God can do powerful things through your life. And one of the things I want to share is one of our values is empowering generations. Empowering generations. We empower generations to use their influence and gifts to radically change the world. I tell you, this church, this is not a hobby for us. This is not something we're casual about. We genuinely believe, whether you're 13 or 43 or 83, if you are willing to surrender your life and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, be the Lord of my life, lead and guide me, work through me, we believe the living God can do that. And so we're not going to be passive about it. We're not going to be casual about it. We are going to compel people of all ages, give your life to Jesus and see what he can do. But many times what holds us back is we want to hold on to things. Want to hold on to maybe hurts or wounds or things from our past, or maybe we struggle to accept that God has forgiven us of the things we did in our past because it's very real to us. And we can't step into what God wants to do, but we're going to compel people, give your entire life to follow Jesus because he can work through your life. Students, right now, you are going to grow up in a church. This church will always look at you, whether you're in elementary school or middle school or high school, and we're going to look you in the eye year after year and tell you that God can use you right now. Not until you get older, not until you go off to college, or not until you get married and have a family. Right now, God can use you. Jesus says this crazy thing. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Surely I'm with you even to the end of the age. When we start to understand the presence of God walks and works through us, you can walk on your campuses and say, the presence of God is with me. Because society will probably tell you, you have no influence. Maybe you're not popular enough. Maybe you're not old enough. Maybe you're a girl or guy or this, whatever. Society tries to tell us all kinds of things to hold us back. Society tries to tell us all kinds of things to divide us. They want to divide us by race, or they want to divide us by gender or money or whatever it is, different denominations. Society wants to divide us, but Christ wants to unite us. Because I'm here to tell you something. Watch, if you've been in church long enough, the enemy will always try to divide a church. You have been around line of, the enemy always wants to divide people. Why? Because if Christians would unite to just lay ourselves down and follow the Lord together, the gates of hell would shake when that happens. We are not here for something passive, because passive lives don't change lives. Passive lives don't change lives. But when people submit to the Lord and say, God, I want you to work through me. I believe you can work in my life. The presence of God is with me and will compel me. And you can step onto a campus or your workplace or your family and believe the living God is going to move through my life because that's his character. I can trust in the Lord and not myself. You can see things happen. Because I promise you, whether you're in middle school or high school, male or female, or you're retired, God can do miraculous things. We're not trusting in a God. We're not talking about it like it's a history book, like that's what he used to do, but he doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. Until Jesus returns, people who give their life to Christ will see miraculous things happen because that's the character of God. And so we're going to empower generations. You may be retired, and people are like, now I can just kind of golf. Praise God if you're golfing. That's good for you. I always get the stereotype of like, man, Pastor, what do you do during the week? You just play golf? And I'm like, I'm sure other pastors do. I don't have that luxury. I'm out here working, serving the Lord, and so are you, I bet. But whether you're older, younger, it does not matter because God's ability to work through your life doesn't waver or change. That it only changes when we say yes or no. And so I want to encourage you, are you saying yes to stepping into the things God wants to do through your life right now? Are you saying yes to the things of God in your life right now? Are you trying to put it off until later? Because generations should work together, not against each other. Generations should work together, not against each other. And maybe you're a parent or your grandparent here today, and I want to give you a couple things to empower the generations behind you. I want to read from Psalm 78, verse 4. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We'll tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, and he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. The first thing I want to tell you, if you're a parent or grandparent or planning to be one day maybe, the first thing I want to tell you is share with your kids and your grandkids the things God has done in your life. Do not get to the end of your life and your kids and grandkids wonder, I wonder what God did in their life. Tell them. Be clear about it. Maybe you're driving in the car, you're taking them to school. Share what God is doing in your life. Students, share with your parents and grandparents what God is doing in your life. They want to hear about it. I believe God's working in your life. Maybe it was this weekend. Go home and tell your parents and grandparents, God did this in my life. God's speaking in my life. He's telling me to do this. Share with each other what God is doing because that encourages us. It builds our faith. But so many times we just kind of keep it to ourselves. Share. Pray with your kids and grandkids out loud. Pray with your kids and grandkids out loud. When these students open up and share things about what's going on in their life, don't just kind of nod your head. Be willing to stop. Put your hand on your shoulder and say, I am praying for you. And then actually pray out loud. Say, God, I'm asking you to move in your life. Maybe God's calling you to step out and do some ministry on your campus or in your family. And when they share that with you, stop in that moment and pray that God blesses that. God, I'm praying that you bless their ministry. Step on their campus. Let them be a leader. Give them influence beyond all measure to point people to you, Jesus. We rebuke the things of the enemy that he wants to slow these students down. Encourage those around you in the faith. It's not just generations behind us we need to encourage. It's those around us in the faith. Maybe you see a gift in somebody's life. Speak that out. Call that out in their life. Sometimes we are our biggest doubters. Sometimes we're our biggest critics. We're the ones who can come up with every reason why God can't use us, but he can use other people. Encourage those around you when you see a gift in them. Say, hey, I think God's given this to you. I think God's blessed you with this, and I think you could make an impact for Jesus with it. Call it out in each other. Speak that out. Say, God has gifted you, because I believe God has created us in his image for his glory. And that means we have purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that. We have gifts. Romans tells us that. 1 Corinthians tells us that. And the last thing is, men, I want to speak specifically to you. If you're a dad or grandparent, create time for discipleship in your house every week. Create time for discipleship in your house every week. So many times, men, we want to serve our family by maybe going out and getting a job and making lots of money. But I promise you, at the end of your days, your biggest impact will not be the money you made, but the impact you made. And I want to encourage you, take time for discipleship every week, because that will pay off. And what I mean by that can be a really churchy word when it comes to discipleship. Have a verse for the week. Tell your family, hey, this is the verse I'm just praying for you this week. This is the verse I'm really believing for this week or this month or this year. Hey, we're just going to take a moment and pray together as a family, and I'm going to ask God to do some special things in our lives this week. It does not need to be overcomplicated. It just needs to be consistent. It does not need to be overcomplicated. It just needs to be consistent. Students, go home and say, hey, I want us to have a verse of the week. You bring it up. You go do it. Wives, you step up. The craziest thing, if you've been around this church, is we actually believe this. Everybody's called to be a leader. Everybody's called to be a leader. Go home and say, hey, we don't have a verse for the week. This is what God is laying on my heart, and this is what he's teaching me about it. I want us to really focus in on it. Students, you can do that. You can lead. I promise you 100%. You have an impact in the household. And many times, we look at ourselves through all our mistakes, right? Not you guys, other people like me wrestle with that. And we try to sell God short of what he's capable of. But when you look and focus on God and start to believe his character, we worry less about who we are and how we can hold God back, because the more you focus on God and see what he does, the more you start to actually believe what he's capable of, if you'll say yes to him. We need to create more space for God to work through us rather than looking to ourselves. Because if you look to yourselves, you'll come up with all kinds of reasons God can't use you. We're really good and capable of coming up with some reasons why God can't use us. But when we focus on God, we start to see what he is capable of. And it's less about, do I have the talents or the gifts or the influence or this or that? It's, I just believe in the living God to do what he says he can do. And it doesn't have to rest on me. If you went back to high school in those days, you know what? You'd meet a lot of people who knew high school Phil, and you try to tell them one day he's going to become a senior pastor. If they were nice, they would just laugh at you. If they were real honest, they would give you all kinds of reasons why that would never happen. And it's not because I'm good enough or because I have enough gifts or this or that. It's because that's who God is. And he's capable of taking anybody's life who's willing to say yes and using it for an impact. And whether you're retired right now or you're a parent right now, or maybe you're like me in a season where you're like, you love your young child, but they don't want to sleep, and you're like, good heavens, I don't know how to make it through this. I'm not best when I'm sleep deprived. But man, if you're willing to say yes, God can use that. That's all he's really looking for is, yes, God, I submit to you. Work through me. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't have all the answers, but just work through me. Lead me. And he will. He wants to. You weren't created without purpose. The second value we have is church like a home. Church like a home. We want church to feel like a home for all who come in. We're excited every Sunday for lives to change as more people encounter the presence of God. Church like a home. And what I want to encourage you with is, many times we come to church and we want a move of God that kind of overflows into the week, right? Like some of us, we come to church and we're like, man, I need my batteries boosted up. I need God to kind of do something, and it's going to kind of carry me through the week. And then if I'm doing pretty good, I'll come back to church again back-to-back weeks, and then it'll kind of boost and I'll have my momentum. I'm here to tell you, the greatest moves of God are typically happening when we've spent all week with God, and Sunday becomes an overflow of what's already been happening in our lives. Like, you want church to be like a home. You want a healthy church. You want a move of God happening at church. It starts on Monday, not Sunday. It starts with going, hey, I'm going to be seeking God. I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to be closing my door. Or maybe if I'm real crazy, I'll leave the door open when I worship and pray. We turn on the worship music and we just get to going. If you come into my house sometimes, it's looking real wild and far more Pentecostal than I am on Sunday morning. But man, Sunday's just an overflow of what God's already been doing through the week. And that's what God wants to do here. He wants to be working in your lives all week long. And then when we show up, it's just an overflow. And other people who maybe do need their batteries charged can come experience that. But man, you want to come to a dead church, it's when people aren't seeking all week long and show up expecting something. Can God do something? Absolutely, because he's God. But we didn't seek for that. If we want to be church like a home, I can tell you what our home needs to be like. It's we sought all week long, and Sunday's just an overflow of what God's been doing all week long. There's a power in that. There's a hunger. And God wants to meet you every day of the week. It's not just a Sunday thing for him. Man, he wants to get into your life when you're reading scripture. Highlight different words, different verses. Put it down in your heart and start to stoke a fire in you. When you're praying, he wants to speak things in your life and align you with his character and his plans and purposes for you. Man, when you get to worship, he wants to transform your heart and your mind to align with the character of God. He wants to do all that all week long, but so many times we don't create any space for that. Don't create the space for that. And that's why I'm trying to encourage us as families, create time for discipleship because God wants to move. He wants to move in our lives. Some of you have been here long enough and you ask the questions, why don't we have membership? Why don't we have membership? And I'm like, because we're not Costco. I'm just kidding. We're good. If other churches have membership, praise God, like that's fine, but we don't have membership here. We have family. We have family. You're invited, like, we're a home. Like, you're either part of the family or you're thinking about being part of the family. We don't have membership because, man, what happens in membership is you don't like one of the products or this or that, and you're like, well, I'm taking my membership to somewhere else. Okay, we're not a product here. We're a family. And in a family, man, we work through disagreements. We're not always perfect. We have our flaws. But, man, we also have love. We also have care. We're also there for our, in our hard times. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly when you're family and you're all together. And that's what the New Testament tells us. Like, it's supposed to be a family. And that means, man, we have love for another, encouragement for one another, support for one another. But also, we may have some hard conversations. We may have some disagreements we need to work through. But when everyone's focused on Christ above all, it can be family. And that's what we have here. And maybe you're interested in becoming part of the family. We're going to have what's called a DNA class, our group, next month. We're going to start it back up in March. If you want to come, that's a great time for you to jump in. But 1 Peter 4 tells us this in verse 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. To me, that sounds like family. Because, man, love each other deeply. Families, that's a healthy family. Love covers a multitude of sins. That means we're a real family, okay? If you are newer here, I've already asked the Lord for me to retire here. And because that's one of the questions I get sometimes from people who are newer here. They're like, how long are you going to stay here? And I've always laughed at that question because I'm like, I can't tell if it's because you want me to stay or you want me to leave. Like, are you just like, can I wait you out and see what the next pastor's like? I already tell, this is not a stepping stone for me. Like, this is where I want to be. I believe in what God's doing, and I love the people here. We may have some disagreements. We may have some things we got to work through, but I love this family. And if God allows it, and he blesses it, and he finds that that will be honoring to him, this is where I want to retire. 25, 30 years from now, the craziest thing, students. Lord willing, like, I will see some of y'all's kids, and I will pray that they are better behaved than you guys. I'm kidding. I love our students. We got a great youth group here. Amen? Yeah. I got you. But man, if we're a family like, love each other deeply. Cover a multitude of sins with that love. Offer hospitality to one another. One of the things you may have loved about Vertical Church is like one of the things I think we're just great at, if I can be honest. I'm going to brag on us because I love us. I want to celebrate us. It's like our greeting and parking team and coffee bar team, like all that experience is just amazing. Like you put, yeah, we can give it up. I mean, I love when Danny's just bebopping around that golf cart, like, where you want to go? I see some of y'all driving down to the CVS with him. You're like, yeah. Man, because at church like a home, like, you should be greeted at the front door. Would it not be weird to go to somebody's house and nobody greets you at the front door? That's weird. You're like, I don't know. Can I come in? Is that allowed? We have a great experience at the front door. People are excited you're here, and it's supposed to be that way when you're family. You're supposed to give some great Southern hospitality at the front door. I love how good we are at that. But I also love us enough to say, hey, there's still some areas we can improve. Like, even though I love us and I want to be here, and I'm so excited about what God's doing, that doesn't mean there's not some areas for us to improve either. Like, if we're a family, we can talk about some areas for us to grow. And we are church like a home, and the greeting is so good at the front door, but it's like people come in at the front door and we're throwing a party. And then they come down and they sit on the couch and they're like, I'm so excited for what God's going to do here. And then no one ever talks to them again when they get to the couch. It's a weird experience for us to be so great at the front door, and then when they come to the couch, they're like, no one ever talked to me again. What's up with that? And you may have come here and you've started to experience, you're like, that, man, everybody's really excited. I'm here when I get to the front door. And then once I get in to the home, it's like I'm forgotten. And I love this church. I'm proud of this church. I want to be part of this church for a long time. But this is an area where we can get better. We leave far too many people alone on the couch. And this is an area where we can step forward. And maybe you have experienced that here. You're like, it's kind of been hard to connect with Vertical. And I want to say, I'm sorry. I want to acknowledge that we can get better. And I want to ask, like, if that's been your experience, or maybe your heart is, I don't want to leave anybody on the couch. I want to invite you to be part of what's called the host team. The host team's job is literally to go around as people are sitting here in the building and just talk to them. Just connect with them. Just care about them. Don't leave people alone on the couch. We want a great welcome experience. We want a great connection experience. And maybe if that's your heart, you're like, man, I want people to experience that. And maybe you've experienced kind of being left on the couch alone. You're like, you know what? I don't want that for other people. I'd encourage you, step up. Help us improve as a family. Help us improve as a home. And if that's you, at the end of the service, go back and talk to our host team at the back of the building. They'd love to have you jump in. We're going to have a breakfast or dinner or lunch or snacks. I don't know, Sam. We'll do something. We'll figure it out. I mean, there's going to be food. We live in the South. That's, I can promise you that. But join the host team and say, hey, I want us to get better as a church. I want us to get better as a home. I love us enough to talk about some areas we can improve, because I want church to be like a home, and I don't want people left out on the couch. And the last thing it talks about is use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Use whatever gift you've received to serve others, which means we all have gifts. We all have gifts. You may try to tell yourself you don't. You may try to sell it short. I'm here to tell you God has gifted you with things to serve others. Because when we serve others, it points people to Jesus. When we serve others, we point people to Jesus. That's why some of us have been burned by church or hurt by church, is when people take their God-given gifts and use them for ourselves. That hurts. And it's not the way God intended those gifts to be used. And so I want to encourage you, are you using the gifts God has given you to serve other people? Because that's what makes church like a home, is when we love each other deeply, we offer hospitality to one another, and we serve one another. That's what makes it a healthy home. And I want us to be church like a home. And deep down, I think that's what a lot of us want to experience. And so I want us to close out in prayer. And I want us to give God a moment to work in our lives. I don't want to rush this moment. So many times we just get hustling and bustling and moving on to the next thing. And God wants to speak into our life. He wants to do something in our life. And we just need to slow down sometimes and let it happen. The first thing I want to ask you is, are you empowering other generations? Maybe the people around you, are you speaking out the gifts you see in them? Say, hey, God has given this to you. God has given this to you. I see it in you. God can really work through you with this. Are you encouraging other people? Are you empowering them to be what God has created them to be? Let's encourage one another. Speak life when we see what God has put in them. Are you helping pass things on to your kids and your grandkids or your friends? Are you sharing about the things God has done and is doing in your life? Students, are you going home and sharing with your family? This is what God's doing, what he's speaking in my life, what he's showing me in scripture, or during worship, God's moving in my life. Are you encouraging your family by what God's doing in your life? I want to ask, are you helping church be like a home? Are you helping church be like a home? Are you loving each other deeply? Are you offering hospitality to one another? And are you using the gifts God has given you to serve others? And many times it's hard for us to step into those areas. It's hard for us to love one another when we are holding on to hurt. It's hard for us to serve one another with gifts when we don't believe God is doing that in our life. And I want to ask, is there some things you need to let go of to love others well? Are there some things you need to start believing about God and his capability of working through you for you to serve others? Is God needing to do something fresh in your life for you to be able to offer hospitality to those around you? But this is God's church. And I want us to be what God calls us to be according to Scripture. And for us to really be healthy, it's not a message from the pastor. It's a move of Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I just ask, by your grace and your love and your faithfulness, to come speak to our hearts. Help us align with your Scripture. Help us to align with your Scripture. Lord, if we're holding on to things that are preventing us from walking in your ways, I pray we let those things go. Bring healing and restoration into our life. You are the God who heals and saves and delivers. Build our faith in trusting in you and not ourselves. Build our faith that you want to work through us. We don't have to rely on our own talents, our own ways. We can rely on you working through us, God. We close out with this time. We're going to have some prayer leaders down at the front on either side. The altar's open if you want to come and give some things to the Lord. Make some commitments before the Lord. You can stay seated or you can stand, but this is a time where I really encourage you, seek the Lord. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to lead you. Don't hold on to things.